Your devotee should execute devotional service by giving the greatest respect to the spiritual master and the acharyas. He should be compassionate to the poor and make friendship with persons who are his equals, but all his activities should be executed under regulation and with control of the senses. Purport: in Bhagavad Gita 13th chapter, it is clearly stated that one should execute devotional service and advance on the path of spiritual knowledge by accepting the acharya. Acharyopasanam. One should worship an acharya, a spiritual master who knows things as they are. The spiritual master must be in the disciplic succession from Krishna. The predecessors of the spiritual master are his spiritual master, his grand spiritual master, his great grand spiritual master, and so on, who form the disciplic succession of acharyas. It is recommended herewith that all the acharyas be given the highest respect. It is said, Gurushu Naramatihi. Gurushu means under the acharyas, and Naramatihi means thinking like a common man. To think of the Vaishnavas, the devotees, as belonging to a particular caste or community. To think of the acharyas as ordinary men, or to think of the deity in the temple as being made of stone, wood, or metal is condemned. Niyamena, one should offer the greatest respect to the acharyas according to the standard regulations. A devotee should also be compassionate to the poor. This does not refer to those who are poverty-stricken materially. According to devotional service, a man is poor if he is not in Krishna consciousness. A man may be very rich materially, but if he is not Krishna conscious, he is considered poor. On the other hand, many acharyas, such as Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, used to live beneath trees every night. Superficially, it appeared that they were poverty-stricken, but from their writings we can understand that in spiritual life they were the richest personalities. A devotee shows compassion to those poor souls who are wanting in spiritual knowledge by enlightening them in order to elevate them to Krishna consciousness. That is one of the duties of a devotee. He should also make friendship with persons who are on an equal level with himself or who have the same understanding that he does. For a devotee, there is no point in making friendship with ordinary persons. He should not make friendship with other devotees. He should make friendship with other devotees so that by discussing among themselves they may elevate one another on the path of spiritual understanding. This is called Ishta Goshthi. In Bhagavad Gita there is reference to Bodhayantaf Parasparam, discussing among themselves. Generally, pure devotees utilize their valuable time in chanting and discussing various activities of Lord Krishna or Lord Chaitanya among themselves. There are innumerable books such as the Puranas, Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads, which contain countless subjects for discussion among two devotees or more. Friendship should be cemented between persons with mutual interests and understanding. Such persons are said to be Svajati, of the same caste. The devotee should avoid a person whose character is not fixed in the standard understanding. Even though he may be a Vaishnava or a devotee of Krishna, if his character is not correctly representative, then he should be avoided. One should steadily control the senses and the mind and strictly follow the rules and regulations, and he should make friendship with persons of the same standard. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 29, Text 17, in which Lord Kapiladev gives instructions on how a devotee should live, so that he can actually be a devotee. Because being a devotee means there are specific things that one should do, one should not do, specific attitude toward everything, toward life, towards people, towards God. So this is all being described, how he dresses, how he eats, what he eats. Sitapragyasya ka bhasha samadhis tasya keshava stithadhi king prabhasheta kimasita vrajeta kim. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks Krishna, how does a sthitapragya, one whose intelligence is fixed, pragya suggests first of all that he has intelligence. Otherwise, another word is agya, means a fool. So sthitapragya, one who has intelligence and whose intelligence is fixed. What is his speech? Ka bhasha, being situated in samadhi. How does he converse with others? How does he sit? How does he walk? So a self-realized person does all the things that other people do. Well, he doesn't perform, he doesn't do what grossly sinful people do, but he walks, he talks, sleeps, eats, but he does everything, Krishna te akila cheshta, everything for the satisfaction of Krishna. So we are being instructed here how to act in such a way that we can develop our love for Krishna. There are many books at the present time on how to behave and how to think. For business, there are so many books. Think and Grow Rich, a famous book by Napoleon Hill. Something like that, was it called? Think and Grow Rich? Something like that it's called. Which it's all about the attitude of, you have to think that I'm going to get millions of dollars, and then you work on it, and then you do it. So that was maybe 50 years ago. Napoleon Hill committed suicide, I believe. So that was... And then there are so many books about how to get money. This idea that Napoleon Hill floated, that you think and then you become like that. So you'll find so many people in the Western world kind of dreaming that, well, if you just think about it, it happens. But of course, it doesn't. It's a fact that if you have intense desire to do something, intense desire, then it tends to happen by the grace of the Super Soul. I remember in Sridhar Maharaj's room in our Brooklyn temple in New York, there was something written. He had quoted some quote from someone who was one of the first people to climb Mount Everest, something like that. Once you positively decide to do something, then all kinds of mystical forces come to your aid and all kinds of things happen. But as we know, it's not that you just intensely desire and then everything falls into place. There's so many obstacles to overcome in any endeavor, especially in Krishna consciousness, in Kali Yuga. And especially in any... Well, what is that? That's stated... Shri Bhakti Marga Iha Kantaka Koti Rudha. In Kali Yuga, in this... The path of bhakti is filled with thousands, millions of thorns. Then also, Shriyang Sibahu Vignani. In any auspicious activity, there'll be so many obstacles. So it's not just by desiring. One has to do some activity and prepared to overcome the obstacles. Anyway, there's so many books. Whenever you go on a train, especially in the AC compartment or on a plane, you'll always see someone's reading some book about something, I don't know. They have so many books. Every day books are coming out. So things like, I don't know, there was years ago the In Search of Excellence, that was a famous book. How you have to make your everything in your business excellent. Everything should be first class. Like this. You should strive to be excellent in all affairs. Which is good if you're doing it for Krishna. Otherwise, it's useless. That's the point here. Then there are books also about how to have relationships within family life. So it all just goes to show that there's no culture, actually. If there's so many books teaching you how to behave, it means that there's no culture, because you learn that just by living with people. But there's no fixed mode of behavior. You'll find in the Western world there's practically so many different cults of people. There are bikers. They have their own little subcult. People who go around on motorbikes. You know these Hell's Angels? We were driving from Seattle to Vancouver, Seattle, Northwest America, to Vancouver in the western part of Canada. And there was about maybe 30 or 40 Hell's Angels on their bikes going on the same route at the same time. They're all old men, you know. They're all old. They've grown old. They're all still looking very tough. So that's one like subsect, and you have Rastafarians, and you have people who are into ecology, and they're like little sub-cults within the Western world. In India too, there's all so many different castes. Practically speaking, the Hindus and Muslims, they don't mix up much. And then even within the Hindus, the different castes, they don't mix, is it? Brahmins don't mix with non-Brahmins, practically. And then, you know, you have the Chettiyas, and then the lower caste people, they don't mix those. They're living in the same space, in the same town, but they're like separate. But they, in the modern society, it's a cultural melting pot. So everyone's just all, they're just how to behave. They learn it from the TV actually more than from their parents, from the elders. Here it said, here the idea is given, acharya upasanam. One should give greatest respect to the spiritual master and the acharya. Acharya refers to the spiritual teacher, although the first acharyas are the mother and father. First the mother and then the father. But they may teach some spiritual subject, but they teach, first of all, basic behavior. Basic human behavior. Sadharan dharma. Of course, sadharan dharma is a general dharma. That's a high topic in itself for the average human being. But all how to behave, how to respect others, how to speak to others, how to eat, how to take bath, everything. They teach everything. And in Vedic culture, there are so many usages, so many for everything. You take bath, you take with your right hand the lota and pour it over your head first, then you rub your first bath in the morning. You know that? You used to do that? Rub your navel. It gets out all the gas and everything. So there are so many things. And mantras to be said while taking baths, before taking baths, during taking baths. So many things to be learned. But in the modern age, that's all forgotten. And the main thing is selfishness. How to get ahead for yourself. So how to be successful in the competitive life. There are so many books. But then they find if you're just totally for yourself, that you it doesn't work actually, because then people, you need other people's help. You need other people's help so that you can jump on top of them. So that's why politics comes in. Because you're pretending to be nice to people so that you can get them to help you, so that you can ultimately jump on their heads and kick them in the head. That's why in human society there's so much politics and diplomacy, because the idea is to make myself better than others. But here we see that anukampa, maitreya, the words, terms are used, compassion and friendship. So friendship in the material world, that means now I can use someone else for my own advantage, for what I think is my advantage. It's not actually to your advantage, because it's not at all to one's advantage, because by exploiting others or misusing them, one incurs sinful reaction. So you may think I'm very smart, but you have to suffer for that. That's why sadharan dharma teaches not to, it teaches us to do the right thing because it's right, as a matter of duty. Even it's given the idea that you will get rewarded for doing so in a future life. But then even one should gradually come to the point of performing dharma for the sake of dharma. Dharma rakshati rakshataha. One who protects dharma is protected by dharma. Of course, everyone is thinking of their own self-interest. Even the devotee is also thinking of his own self-interest. Everyone does that. But he understands that my self-interest is in serving Krishna. So, one's self-interest is there, but then when one has complete faith in and love for Krishna, he finds that Krishna is more important to him than himself. That's why the example is there of the gopis who are there ready to go to hell for giving their foot dust to Krishna to cure his headache. Keep your hand away from your mouth. Did you touch your lips? Don't keep it there. So this is actual selflessness. Actual selflessness comes when one is fully wrapped in bhakti, love of the Supreme Self. And such a person is rich. Here it's said about rich. Dina anamanukampaya. One should be merciful to the poor. And who is poor? Who is rich? Devotee is rich. Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. Sleeping beneath trees every night. Rich, very rich. Whereas someone who's got lots of money, but they have no feelings for it. They're just selfish, like a animal is selfish. Then they're poor, actually. You can see, devotee can see that. That's why a devotee is not impressed. He goes into some big rich person's house and they look like they're rich, but the devotee sees they're just suffering. It's just a place they've constructed to suffer in. That's all. This Ambarish Prabhu, he was saying that being born in a very rich family, famous rich family of America, born into a family with billions of dollars, and then from the beginning associating with all the richest people in America, you could see from the very beginning that wealth does not bring happiness. As he saw all around him, all his parents, and I don't know if his parents, but all the different people getting divorced and having so many problems, and he just saw that. He came to the shelter of Prabhupada's lotus feet. So friendship, everyone craves, here it's mentioned about friendship in the purport Prabhupada talks. Friendship, everyone craves that, everyone wants friendship. But at the same time, friendship in the material world means how to get some advantage from someone else. And that's one reason why in the modern age, more and more you'll find people don't have friends. I was in Finland, they put me in, the devotees have a rented room. I mean, the whole place is rented, the temple area, and then around it they have some rooms. I came into the apartment. There's one major room, which is about, if you take this square here, it's about half the size of this. And there's a little space on the side for a kitchen and a little space on the other side for a bathroom. And it's a one-person apartment, just meant for one person to live in. I was told that most people in Helsinki live in apartments like this. Everyone lives alone. They don't get married. Many of them don't even have boyfriends or girlfriends. And they just live alone. And they have a dog or a cat. Or maybe not that either. They just prefer to be alone because having friends is... They don't have friends either. They go to work and they come home. And that's all. And they watch TV or they like that. They don't have friends. And they prefer, because they don't like the interaction. It's too much strain for them. So that's one reason people don't have friends, because what do you get out of it? There's no economic advantage. You find in families also that the family ties, which seem so strong, they're often held together by economics. That because you need each other economically, therefore there is some bondage, some reciprocation, otherwise not. So friendship in devotional service is actually, it's genuine, because it's based not on the selfish principle, but on the selfless principle of serving Krishna. We all cooperate to serve Krishna. That's real friendship. Here it's mentioned respect for the acharya, compassion to the poor, friendship with persons who are his equals. This is paralleling the well-known verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, that Ishvare tadadhineshu balisheshu dvishachucha prema maitri kripo peksha yakaroti samadhyama. A madhyam adhikari devotee, one who's on the path of pure devotional service, offers love to the Supreme Lord, makes friends with devotees, is compassionate to the innocent non-devotees, and avoids the envious. So there's a gradation. It's not all the same. There's this absurd idea in the modern world that everyone's all the same. Everyone should be equal. Someone who's a trained, experienced lawyer, he has one vote. And an 18-year-old, uneducated person also has one vote. Their say in choosing the government is the same. It's ridiculous. So it's all the same. No, it's not all the same. There's a gradation. That's there everywhere. You join the army and say, give you orders. Hey, wait a minute, we should take a vote. No votes. No, it's not anywhere. It's not like that. In a school, the teachers have to be respected. They can't teach. I was in a school where the teachers weren't respected, and there was no proper discipline. It was like an experiment, how to be all liberal and nice. It was useless. You couldn't learn anything. Some people learned, but the atmosphere was, you respected the teachers if you wanted to, and so on. Otherwise, you didn't. You can't learn anything. Or you go in a business, or a courthouse, and it's all equal. Well, wait a minute, there's someone's being accused. The judge, it's not the guy who's sweeping the floor. He doesn't give the verdict. The judge gives. It's not all equal. Business, you get hired, and the boss says, hey, carry these boxes. You carry them. It doesn't work. There must be gradations. But in devotional, that's there in devotional service also. Prabhupada said that unless there is, as Prabhupada noted, that unless there's, the authority must be respected. Otherwise, no organization can go on. It doesn't work. So, respect for authority must be there. But in devotional service, it's not the respect that you have for. It's not like in the army where you respect because you have to, out of fear. But the reciprocation is there. That those who are senior, they try to help those who are junior to come up. Vaishnav dealings are characterized by sweetness, because bhakti, the basic nature of bhakti is rasa. Rasa, I mean, there's some taste. Of course, there are different kinds of tastes, but the madhurya rasa, that is the rasa of sweetness, that is the special characteristic of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's moon. And we find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dealings were very sweet, and Lord Ram's dealings very sweet. Sometimes it's... what is that? Kusamapi kator. So it means just soft like a flower, but sometimes hard also. So the sweetness, that's basic, but the harshness, that may be there sometimes, may be necessary. But the swarup lakshana of the Lord, or his basic personal characteristic, is not harshness, as they have the idea in Christian religion, that God's main duty is to throw people into hell forever. And you have to fear him. But the basic characteristic of the Lord is that he's very sweet. He's lalit, charming. So his harshness is also there. But his harshness, that's tatashta lakshanam. It's there, it's a characteristic of the Lord, but it's a marginal characteristic. And even his harshness, that is also just to nourish the sweetness. Just like we see, Krishna left Vrindavan very harsh towards the Vrajvasis, but that was to nourish their feelings of sweetness. Or Krishna killed so many demons. That washerman, he seemed to be quite reasonable when he chastised Krishna and Balaram. He said, "Hey, give us these toys." He said, "Oh, what do you mean? Come on, don't be so impertinent. You know, these are the clothes for the king. You have to respect the king. What he said was right." But actually he was a demon because he was supporting Kamsa and he didn't recognize Krishna as Supreme Lord. So Krishna cut off his head. Killed him on the spot. So that may seem very harsh, but whoever Krishna kills, he gives them the opportunity to engage in devotional service to him. So the end result is sweet. Madhurena samapayet. Everything should end sweetly. So similarly, a Vaishnav may sometimes seem very harsh. But that harshness is only to bring out the sweetness in others. His character is actually very sweet, but not this artificial sweetness that some we find that materialistic people sometimes they're artificially sweet. They seem to be very sweet. Or you find in Bengal that among the Vaishnavas, to be spiritually advanced, as it said here, yamena niyamena cha, one has to follow certain rules and regulations. So that requires a lot of commitment and hard work and sincerity. And so among Bengali Vaishnavas, influenced by the Sahajiya mentality, they just kind of cut that, they edited that line out, and they're just sweet. They don't follow rules and regulations, but they're very humble in their behavior and this and that. But it's not real, it's false. That's where you can find that they can be very sweet in their dealings, but then you find that actually they're like between each other. When you come and you're a guest, they're so nice, and then you find out they're like the brothers are having some terrible, you know, rivalry between themselves, and they're actually very envious in their dealings. But they're making a show of it. That's without the real change of heart. I just read yesterday there was a newspaper article, it's going back to the 1930s, by someone who visited Navadvip and Mayapur, and they were giving a report in actually a magazine, and how they visited Lalita Didi, famous Sahajiya of the time, means sister Lalita, actually a man who dressed as a woman, Shaki Beki, is Upper Sampradaya. Because the idea, the philosophy behind it is that, well, we want to become gopis. So we have to play the part, we have to feel it, we have to internalize it, like a like an actor. When they play the part, they become so absorbed in the part that they forget about their own home and everything, and they just become that part. Of course, this is not the system recommended by the acharyas. It's a concoction. But Lalita Didi, she was famous as she would cover her head, she, he, or whatever, cover her head with sari and put the altar, you know, this red on the feet, which all the women in India used to do. Now they became modern, so they stopped doing that. And speak in this high-pitched voice like a woman, and then 4 days a month you wouldn't see him or her. They're off for the menstrual period. And so like this, so the person who was writing the article said that, you know, they wanted to speak with him or her and say, you know, how this isn't good. And so they talk, and they wanted to, and then they wanted to ask some questions about some points of Vaishnava. They're not Vaishnavas, but there's some points of Vaishnav discussion, some about Jai, there's some controversy, this Jayananda's Chaitanya Mangal, is it bona fide or not? They asked him or her so many questions, and she replied, well, I'm just a simple housewife, what do I know about all these things? Although she or he was actually a graduate, and there weren't so many graduates in those days. Anyway, at the end of the section on Lalita Didi, the writer said that although we can't agree with his or her in Bengali, there's no word for his or her, it's just his, her. There's no such word. It's tini, ini, oni, or uni, but I don't think in Indian languages they have his or her, that's in English, it's like that. So his So although we could not agree with his basic mode of life, we have to admit that by his sweet behavior, he conquered our hearts. But what is that? What is the use of that sweetness? We have to see Siddhanta. It may be that we were reading yesterday about Gorky Shah Das Babaji Maharaj. He probably wouldn't be very popular in the modern age. Probably the devotees would tell him, like, you're insensitive. This is a common word we hear in ISKCON. You have to be sensitive. Although I don't see that Prabhupada or our acharyas use this word very much. It's coming more out of the new age. You have to be sensitive. How do you have to feel for other people? But it's all on the mundane platform. It means what it means is you should reciprocate with their false egoism. Out of false egoism, they're feeling like this. But then the sadhu's sweet harshness is manovya sangha mukti bihi. Santa evasya chindanti manovya sangha mukti bihi. This verse, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quoted so many times. Tatodu sangha mutsrija. Satsu sajeta buddhiman. Santa evasya chindanti manovya sangha mukti bi. This is Lord Krishna states this after describing about Puruvara's fascination with Urvashi and then his realizing after having wasted countless thousands of years in sexual affairs that it's all just completely nonsense. I was just in Maya. So the conclusion, Lord Krishna says, after narrating the Aila Gita, is that Aila Gita means the Aila. Puruvara is saying this, that, you know, how I wasted my time, I was just in Maya. So therefore, one should give up bad association. Tataha, therefore. Do sangha, utsricha, give up bad association. And in being intelligent, one an intelligent person should associate with sadhus. Why? Because sadhus, they cut by their words, they cut the mental attachments which binds us in this material world. So Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he wasn't superficially sensitive. He was harsh, apparently, very harsh. And his disciple, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was apparently very harsh. But that apparent harshness is a symptom of their internal sweetness and richness. Whereas the sweetness can be, if it's not genuine, if it's not coming from genuine love of Krishna, then it's a serious obstacle on our path of developing actual Krishna consciousness. Actual Krishna consciousness means sweetness, the natural sweetness of the soul. But to feign it, you know that word feign? To mimic it, to make a drama of having it. That is actually a severe obstacle on the path of becoming Krishna conscious. When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, what about all these famous sadhus in Vrindavan? All bogus. And then again, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself said that after doing Brajamandal Parikrama. He clapped his hand to his forehead and said, I went all around Vrindavan and I didn't find one sadhu, didn't find one devotee. And I said, really? Well, we saw so many devotees, we saw so many people chanting and following rules and probably Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, they're all neophytes. So, what is the standard actually? Genuine bhakti, people are impressed. If someone's a good speaker, or if they're very austere, they do a lot of chanting, it would seem that they're, or if they show ecstatic symptoms, it would seem that they're a great devotee. But not necessarily so. Our acharyas are teaching us. It's easy to get diverted by our mundane sentiments. So, Siddhanta. We should understand what is Siddhanta. Siddhanta balya chitte nakaraha alash. Yaha hoite krishne lage suri ramanash. We can actually become attached to Krishna very strongly by applying our intelligence to understand Siddhanta. Siddhanta, and there's all, it's not just, Krishna consciousness is not just a mental formula. That's all it means, reciprocation. But the reciprocation has to be genuine on the point of giving up sense gratification. There's so much more to be said about this. I mean, well, that's true of everything, every verse, every. So, anyway, I think I'll finish there for now. There's a lot to be said. Any question?
Sometimes in preaching, especially when we are very unified, you also become very harsh, and instead of explaining to people, we attack them for.
When we're preaching, instead of explaining to people, we attack them.
Yeah. And then the result is that they don't want to hear anymore from us.
And they don't want to hear anymore. Yeah? It may be.
Does it come by experience or how it comes to sense?
Preaching, experience, yeah, anything we do, experience. Krishna helps. In material activities also, the Super Soul helps. If you practice shooting birds, after some time, by the grace of the Super Soul, you become more expert. Whatever it is. So in preaching also. But preaching, actually I want to talk about that in one lecture, about what is the qualification for a preacher. It's ultimately this is the sincerity, and ultimately what is the result of our preaching? It may be difficult to say. It's not necessarily that collecting many people is, it not necessarily means that it's good preaching. We have to see if Krishna is pleased. We see often, even within our movement, some people collect many followers, but it would appear in some cases that they make themselves the center rather than putting Krishna in the center. And it's clearly for some personal aggrandizement, or that's like a large factor in it. And Krishna consciousness not actually transmitted. Can any of us claim to be better preachers than Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj? But it seems that he deliberately drove away almost everyone who came to him. He didn't want, he was like, you know. No, he didn't, he said he lived among all kinds of people, they came around, he didn't drive them away. Although he was quite harsh in some instances, that people would go away, just like we heard someone came, his great devotee, and they want to introduce, you know, the two great devotees, Babaji Maharaj, now they're bringing this landlord who just lost 45,000 rupees, which is a huge amount of money. That temple in Bagh Bazaar was built for 3 lakhs. And this incident with Babaji Maharaj took maybe 30 years before that. So 3 lakhs was a huge amount of money at that time. So, you know, they're very excited, you know, and bring this great land, this devotee, this landlord, he just lost such a huge amount of money, but he's just absorbed. And they brought Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and he said, "Are we going to do kirtan now? We don't have time to speak." And they just started kirtan, and then they just went on and on. He didn't want to speak to him at all. So, how can we measure good preaching? Well, we have to see if Krishna is pleased. Ultimately, that's the test. And Krishna himself can say. Well, we'll find out sooner or later. If one is sincere, he will try for that. I'll discuss this more fully on another day. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya. Hare Krishna.